It's a terrible thing because if I say something stupid, it's recorded. So, last week we looked at the population of England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. We looked at the big cities, and I talked about the fact that there is not a lot of countryside in Britain, especially in England. England is full of towns. I also talked about the age of the population and about the situation of women. And this is where we finished with the situation of women. Even today, although there has been a lot of progress, the situation is not equal. Women do not have an equal situation. And I finished with this information. If you take the FTSE 100 companies, the FTSE, c'est l'équivalent anglais de, du CAC 40. Ah, je vois que vous n'êtes pas des investisseurs. Moi non plus. Le CAC 40, c'est les plus grosses entreprises. Et le FTSE 100 is the 100 biggest companies in the London stock market. And if you look at the directors, only 10% are women. So, 50 years ago, it was zero. It's 10%. The situation is better in the public sector. Hospitals, universities, local government. And 24% of the top jobs are held by women. 21% of local government chief executives are women. Alors, local government chief executive, c'est ce qu'on dirait en français, les maires des communes. Sauf que deux choses à se rappeler, il y a très peu de petites communes en Angleterre. On sait des bons boulots. Je sais qu'en France, on peut être maire d'un village de 10 personnes. So 21%, it is progress, and 19.5% of members of parliament. Now, I have my assistant here who's now going to press on the button. Yes, excellent. Of course, like in other countries, there have been laws passed to try to institute equality. Now, sometimes the laws are not very strict. That is that in theory, it's illegal to pay women less. In practice, sometimes we feel that the government isn't working very hard to stop companies who pay women less. Nevertheless, in 1970, the Equal Pay Act said, if you do the same job as a man, you must receive the same wage. This is very important because before this, in 1969, it was perfectly normal to say, we need a manager, we will pay £10,000 for a man or £8,000 for a woman. This was normal. And so the Equal Pay Act was very important. And also the Sex Discrimination Act in 1975. Now, both of these laws, the Equal Pay Act and the Sex Discrimination Act, are against discrimination. So it is illegal to discriminate. However, the problem was that although some progress was made, we were not seeing equality. And one of the results is a new law in 2007, after a long campaign by women's groups and by trade unions, a new law in 2007, which says that public sector employers, hospitals, universities, the town, the people who clean the town, the people who build the roads, public employers are obliged to promote gender equality. Now, this is a difficult concept. It's very different because before 2007, if you have a hospital with, imagine you have a hospital with 1,000 workers and 20 managers, and they are all men. All the managers are men. Imagine, it's an imaginary hospital. Before 2007, there is no problem. There is no problem. You cannot prove that the employer has discriminated against an individual woman. So it's not illegal. It's not a legal problem to have a hospital with 1,000 workers and 20 managers, all men. After 2007, the hospital management is obliged to take action if there is not equality. So if you have this imaginary hospital, which is not so imaginary, 1,000 workers, 20 managers, all the managers are men, the hospital must show that they are taking action to improve this situation. So this is another step, which is more than bienvenue. Je suis désolé si vous avez eu la mauvaise information sur l'amphi. C'était pas de ma faute. Ici c'est l'amphi orange. C'est pour vous. Ok. Oui. Je sais que c'est votre si c'est votre première vos premières semaines à l'université, vous avez l'impression que c'est le bazar par ici. C'est pas du tout le cas. Non, pas du tout. Ok. However, notice that this is not a policy of quotas. In England, in Britain, there are no quotas. Quotas are sometimes used, for example, in the United States, there are sometimes quotas. If you have 20 managers, you must have 5 women by law. That's a quota. You must have seen this question when you look at racism in the United States. The question of quotas is very important. In Britain, there are no quotas. But there is this intermediate measure which says that the public employer must take action. Now, what action? Let's go back to our imaginary hospital, St. John's Hospital. 1,000 workers, 20 managers, all men. So, well, let's imagine they have one woman. Sometimes they set into practice mentoring schemes. So they have special weekend training courses for women only who want to be managers. Yeah. So they take action to encourage women to move up into management. They look carefully at their interviewing technique. Dans l'exemple de l'hôpital, la chose classique, ce serait, quand on a un comité de recrutement, d'inviter, d'avoir deux hommes et deux femmes, d'ailleurs, de notre hôpital, sur le comité de recrutement. Because one of the things we know about recruitment and interviews is that people recruit people who resemble them. Oui, bienvenue, je suis désolé pour la mauvaise information. C'est bien ici cette fois. Oui, ce qui s'est passé, c'est que quelqu'un, et je ne sais absolument pas qui, dans l'administration, a dit au secrétaire que c'était l'amphi-marron. C'était jamais le cas. Mais bon, voilà. Vous avez bien fait de trouver, hein, et il y a un texto dans cette histoire, je suis sûr. Ok, so this is the new policy to promote gender equality. It's difficult to know how successful this is. It is better than nothing, but it's difficult to know. And you notice the big problem. It's only for public sector employees. If you are the manager of a hospital or a university, you must act for gender equality. But if you are the manager of a chain of restaurants or supermarkets, you have no duty to promote gender equality. So at the moment, there is a big campaign to extend this obligation to the private sector. Because the situation today is still that women earn 2/3 of men's wages, not because they are paid less for the same job, but because they are concentrated in low-status, low-paid and part-time jobs. Supermarket cashiers, call centres, etc. You know this stuff. Thank you. And here is one of the examples of a campaign for equal pay. The Fawcett Society is an organisation which campaigns for equality for women. And you can see that in 2010, they had a special day with demonstrations and concerts and so on. Bienvenue. Equal Pay Day 2010. Si, il y a plein de place. Il y a de la place pour tout le monde. Bon, enfin, il y a encore de la place. Je dirais pas de la place pour tout le monde. Qu'est-ce que c'est bien ce micro sans fil? Ok. Entrez autant que vous pouvez. Je sais que vous avez eu la mauvaise information. Scandalous, no, this is habitual. Habitualist. Well, write to the president.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Okay, next slide, please. Next slide, please. Thank you. Let's have a look then at the situation for immigration. Of course, Britain has always been a country of immigration for two main reasons. First of all, of course, the British Empire. So when people from poorer countries wanted to find a new life, they already could speak some English, and so they chose England. And also, when Britain needed more workers, they encouraged immigration. The first big wave of immigration was in the 19th century, mostly immigrants from Ireland. If you look at the railways in Britain, we always say that the Irish built the British railways. Of course, this is an exaggeration, but not so much. At the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, the largest group of immigrants, very poor immigrants, were Jews coming from Russia. It was a very dangerous time to be Jewish in Russia. Large parts of the east of London, there are parts of the east of London which are very Jewish and always have been. So those were the first two big waves. I have here five waves of immigration, the cinq vagues d'immigration. Of course, there are many people who come from elsewhere, from China, Vietnam, or Haiti, but these are the big waves. In the 1950s and the 1960s, Caribbean immigrant workers, donc venus des Antilles, on dit en anglais the West Indies, les Indes de l'Ouest, pourquoi pas? The West Indian or Caribbean immigrant workers in the 1950s and 1960s. Very often, the West Indians worked on the buses in London, the men worked on the buses, and the women worked in the hospitals. And even today, if you go to a hospital, you'll see a lot of West Indian nurses, not so many doctors, more nurses. That's how racism works. And the fourth big group then from India, Pakistan and Bangladesh. Mostly Muslims. And this immigration reached its highest point, its peak, in the late 1960s. And the early 1970s. That's four waves, that's a lot of waves, but there is a fifth wave, which is today, in the last few years, because of two effects. First of all, what happened there? Can you kick it? Just give it a thump. Oui, rebrancher toutes les branches. Là, ça m'inquiète. Ah, thank you. Okay. First of all, asylum seekers, very often from Afghanistan or Iraq, from different places where it becomes very hard to have a normal life. And secondly, much bigger wave of economic migrants with the changes in the European Union. Romania, Poland, and the Czech Republic. It's a similar situation. People from Poland, since 2005, have the right to live in France or Italy or England. And the advantage of England is they already speak English. They learnt English in school. So England is very attractive. This is a lot of people. If you go to London today and you go into 10 cafes, you have the impression that you hear that the people who are serving you, that half of them come from Poland. This is not true. But of course, if you just arrived from Poland, the easiest job to get is in a shop or a restaurant. So you see a lot of people there. On the whole, I was from And in fact, today, 500,000 people born in Poland live in Britain. So that's quite a lot of people. Again, what these, very often they are young people, young adults, sending money home to Poland, and very often they stay 5 or 10 years and then go back to Poland. That's quite often the case. Could we have the next slide, please? Yeah, okay, so this is an easy one. Of course, when people all come from the same country, they want to get together and continue some of their own customs. And here is an example of an Irish cultural centre, the Ukimok, in London. Of course, if you went here, you would be able to learn Irish music, Irish language, perhaps Irish sport, Gaelic sports, etc. And of course, drink Irish beer, which is very important. This kind of cultural centre would probably get some money from the government. Not a lot, but they would probably get some money from the government. It's generally considered to be something to be encouraged. We have another example. This is not a cultural centre. This is the biggest mosque in Britain. This is the biggest one in Britain. It's a mosque in Bradford. It's quite new. It was just built a few years ago. Next, please. And of course, the most famous example of cultural events from British immigrants is the Notting Hill Carnival, which was first of all established in 1958. J'ai écrit un article en français sur le carnaval de Notting Hill que je mettrai sur mon blog. Mais c'est un peu long. At the beginning, it was very difficult, the Notting Hill Carnival. The police were very angry. They didn't think it was a good idea, having all these West Indians in the streets, in public. It's a very important symbol. Because if you have a carnival in the streets, you're saying, we are at home. That's the message. We are at home. Come and dance with us. Very different from a cultural centre where you keep together. And so it caused a lot of difficulty because in the 1960s and 1970s, racism was even worse than it is today. However, today it has become very much accepted. In fact, the government is quite proud of the Notting Hill Carnival, and certainly in the schools of London they will study the history of the Notting Hill Carnival, and in the libraries there will be photo exhibitions before and after. It's become part of official culture, and you can listen to hip-hop, break, reggae, dubstep, drum and bass, and things like that. And it's free. And it's free. On the television every year, they always have film of a policeman dancing with a black lady. It's a tradition. Okay, next please. And this is from the east of London then, an east of London synagogue. Probably built in the 1920s, 1930s, when the Jewish population are more established.
C'est moi qui ai pris la photo et elle est mal prise.
Okay, next please. So, let's have a summary of this question. Where were the people who live in Britain born? It's not necessary to learn all the numbers, but it's necessary to understand which are the big groups and which are the small groups. So, first of all, it's important to realise that 54,000 were born in the United Kingdom. Now, many of this 54,000, their parents were born in the West Indies or in China or in India or in Pakistan, but this is people who were born. This is where you were born. Of course, identity is more complicated. Many people who live in England, who were born in England, and whose parents are Indian, if you ask them, they will say, I'm Indian. Yeah. Identity is a choice. Yeah, you can choose. You can be one or the other. Of course, my great-grandparents were Irish. I was born in England. But if I want to be Irish, I can be Irish. It's a choice. The Ireland is the second biggest, 400,000. India, 700,000. Poland, 500,000. Pakistan, 400,000. These are the big ones. Germany and the United States is bigger than you might think. And then Africa and the West Indies are smaller ones. So you have all the numbers there. I will eventually, in a few weeks' time, put the PowerPoint on the blog as well, so you will see it. Just a little point of vocabulary. In England, when we talk about when we say people are Asian, mutamu asiatique, in England the word Asian means from India, Pakistan, or Bangladesh. Donc en fait, Asie du Sud-Est.
Sud-Est.
Oui. Tandis qu'en français, quand on dit asiatique, on pense plutôt au Vietnam ou Chine. Mais en anglais, si vous voyez une affiche pour de la musique asiatique, ça va être indo-pakistanais, ça va pas être chinois. Okay, so this is we often talk about black and Asian groups. I'm sorry, I picked up a nasty virus. Could we have the next slide, please? Oh, okay. Of course, the different immigrant groups have a lot of cultural events. At the bottom left, you can see a radio which specialises in, I think, Indian and Pakistani music. If you go to the website of the BBC, the BBC, very prestigious, you will see that you have some BBC radio stations specialised in Asian music and BBC radio stations specialised in other kinds of music. So there is a certain official recognition of the cultural differences. This is part of what we call multiculturalism, which is something very complicated, but it means that frequently, not always, but frequently in Britain, public policy is to encourage the expression of cultural differences. So my mother lives in a small town in the north of England where a lot of people are Indian, and if you go to the local library, you will find a lot of books in English, but maybe 10%, 20% in Gujarati, the language of the people who come from the place where they speak Gujarati. So this is the idea of multiculturalism. You have to be careful with the word because it's a word which means different things to different people. But it's generally the idea that cultural differences are a point of strength and not a point of weakness. At the top left, you have a Sikh temple, the biggest Sikh temple in Britain. And at the bottom right, I think you have another mosque. Oh, and at the top right, you have the Soka Music Awards, and Soka is from the West Indies, from the Caribbean. The next slide, please. Now, here is a different question. In this case, the question is not, where were you born? The question is, what is your identity? So, if your parents are Indian and you're born in England, you can choose. You can say, I am English, or you can say, I am Indian. And this is the result of what happens when people ask this question. Bienvenue. Bravo d'avoir trouvé. C'est vrai que c'est pas évident. C'est juste un mot. Okay. In the 2001 census, ça fait 10 ans, mais c'est parce que les recensements, c'est que tous les 10 ans, ils n'ont pas encore publié des nouveaux résultats. 4.6 million, or 8% of the UK population, describe themselves as belonging to a minority ethnic group. Now, there is something very British about this information, because in France it is illegal to do surveys of information by ethnic differences. It's a different approach to the question. The largest minority ethnic group was Indian. That is to say, 2% of the British population say, I am Indian. Maybe they were born in England, maybe they were born in India, but they feel Indian. And the next biggest were Pakistani, mixed. Mixed, that's a good word. I feel mixed. Okay? And Black Caribbean, from des Antilles Anglaises, des Anciens Antilles Britanniques, Jamaica, Trinidad, etc. Again, it's not necessary to know all this information, but it gives you some ideas. So, of course, as you would expect in a country which is a European country with a history of an empire, discrimination is still quite common. Most of the immigrants who came from British colonies, in fact, most of the immigrants in general, live in the big towns. This is because, one, it's easier to find work in a big town, and two, small towns are boring. Okay, I know, I come from a small town. So, for example, London. In London, white people are 61% of the total population. 61% of the population of London are white people. Are people who say, I am white. If you ask them, what is your ethnic identity, they say, I am white. So they don't say, I am Indian or I am Irish. The biggest ethnic population is in London. Si vous prenez les bus, vous le voyez. And the second biggest is the West Midlands. Do you remember which town is the West Midlands? Birmingham, thank you. Yes, Birmingham is the West Midlands. The middle on the west, yeah. 13% of people in the West Midlands are black or Asian. Notez bien que Asian, c'est Indo-Pakistanais. Les pauvres Bangladais, on est mis avec les autres. On ne sait pas trop où c'est. Peut-être vous saviez que le Bangladesh, avant, c'était le Pakistan, c'était une partie du Pakistan. Ok. Thank you. Now, the situation of minority ethnic groups in Britain, on average, black and Asian groups are much poorer and have a higher unemployment rates. Relatively few in high status jobs. However, there is some progress, especially in public sector employment. Now, these are generalizations because the situation is different in London and elsewhere. Where I come from, in the north, you find a lot of Indians who have small shops or taxis. Very, very common. The reason, of course, is if you have a small shop, you are independent. and you don't have to worry about going to a company and finding that the manager is racist and won't employ you. Now, just as I explained about gender equality, so since 2000, public sector organisations, hospitals, universities, etc., are obliged to promote racial equality. Welcome. So this is the same thing, special training reserved for black people to encourage black people to become managers, for example. A determined search to eliminate unconscious discrimination. Comme je vous avais dit, ce qui serait classique, ce serait si vous avez un hôpital où il y a beaucoup de managers blancs et presque pas de noirs, si vous avez un comité de recrutement, vous invitez des managers noirs d'autres hôpitaux pour que le comité soit moitié noir, moitié blanc, pour qu'il y ait une chance que le candidat noir se sent à l'aise comme les autres. Ce serait un truc classique. And in my opinion, a very good thing. Not enough, but at least an attempt. The problem is that this duty does not apply to private companies, although trade unions are campaigning for its extension. I haven't read a lot about the results. So, là, par contre, ça fait 12 ans. Alors, quelqu'un, quelque part, a écrit sur les résultats. C'est joli. Est-ce que ça marche? I don't know. I know that one thing which happens is that you have the hospital, okay, this imaginary hospital, and the hospital must promote racial equality. However, the trade unions in the hospital will be campaigning, we want to only buy food from private companies who also promote racial equality. So, même que ça s'applique seulement aux entreprises publiques, en réalité, il y en a pas mal d'entreprises publiques qui disent « Nous, on veut acheter aux entreprises privées seulement si eux, ils ont une politique antiraciste aussi. » Alors, ça a quand même marché, je crois, mieux que prévu. Could we have the next slide, please? You're doing a good job there. And naturally, there have been... Well, I need to say a little bit about racism. Now... Half of you know more about racism than me, but I know something about the history of racism in Britain. Certainly, racism has declined over the last 30 years. There is still a lot of racism in Britain, but racism has definitely declined. I think I told you, when I was 12 or 13, racist jokes at school was every day. I heard racist jokes every day. This was the atmosphere. It was bizarre. This is not the case today. There have been some laws, the Race Relations Act. Donc notez bien le titre. Ce n'est pas des lois contre le racisme en tant que tel. C'est les lois concernant les relations entre les races, les rapports entre les races. Race relations. Okay. So, in 1965, 1968, 1976, and 2000, they were very important because before the law, it was perfectly normal to see a sign, house for rent, no black people, please. This was, in the 1960s, this was legal and normal. Not surprising. So the laws were important, but very limited. Very limited in many ways. The Commission for Racial Equality, c'est un petit peu comme la Haute Commission contre la discrimination en France, quelque chose du genre, which again is not extremely effective, but they sometimes help people, that's for sure. But it's not. It doesn't have a lot of people, it doesn't have a lot of power. The last element is rather interesting. Je n'ai pas mis la date, mais je pense que le paragraphe au milieu, je crois que c'est 2004, oui c'est 2004. The Employment Equality, Religion or Belief Regulations. are the first law in Britain to attack the question of religious discrimination. And what they say is, one, religious discrimination is illegal. You cannot say, I don't want you because you're Jewish, or I don't want you because you're a Catholic or a Muslim. That's illegal. But secondly, employers are obliged to make available reasonable facilities for religions. That means if you have a hospital with 1,000 workers and 100 of the workers are Muslim, the hospital must have a prayer room if the Muslims want one. This is the law. However, if you have a small shop with 3 employees and 2 are Muslims, you're not obliged to have a prayer room because this is considered not reasonable. Let me give you another example. If you are a big supermarket and you have 200 employees and 10 are Jewish, and one of the Jewish says, I don't want to work on Saturday, the employer is obliged to say, okay, no problem. That is the law. They must say, okay, no problem. But of course, if it's a small shop with only 3 people, it's not considered reasonable. This is, of course, first of all, impossible to imagine in France. It's just a completely different view of the question of religion. Again, it's too early. It's been 6 years. It's too early to see the exact results. Je sais que, par exemple, il y a des musulmans qui travaillaient dans des grands supermarchés qui ne voulaient pas travailler dans la section alcool. Ça, ça a été considéré comme raisonnable. Ils ont le droit de ne pas travailler dans la section alcool. Okay. Of course, at the top we have the laws, and laws are important, but laws don't always change the world. There have also been very important campaigns against racism. In the 1970s, Rock Against Racism. For a long time, the Anti-Nazi League. And today, there are 2 organizations which are very active today. Love Music Hate Racism and Unite Against Fascism. If you are interested, it is easy to find their websites. Next, please. Just one or two more questions about racism. I find racism a very depressing subject, but it's important. Just like in France a few years ago, you had in some in some suburbs, fighting with the police, riots, it is in Metz. There have also been difficulties of this sort in Britain. Récemment moins qu'en France, mais avant plus qu'en France. Riots in inner cities. Notez bien qu'en France, on a des émeutes dans les banlieues. Et si vous traduisez riots in the suburbs, les Anglais sont très surpris. Parce que quand on dit suburbs en anglais, on imagine les villes. Parce que les pauvres habitent en Angleterre, les pauvres habitent en centre-ville. Et alors c'est pour ça qu'on dit inner cities, les quartiers centraux des grandes villes, très pauvres. Donc c'est l'équivalent des banlieues pauvres en France, mais c'est pas au même endroit. If you were studying geography, you would learn about this. So, in the inner cities, several times, Something bizarre. J'ai changé cette phrase hier soir sur mon ordinateur. Je ne sais pas pourquoi il n'a pas changé. Okay. Several times there were fights, especially between police and young black people. However, in 2 towns in the last few years, there have been another problem, a different problem really, which was fighting between groups of Pakistani young people and West Indians. Il y a eu des grandes bagarres entre Pakistanais, de jeunes d'origine pakistanaise et jeunes d'origine des Caraïbes. Ce n'est pas courant, c'est arrivé 2 fois. me, it was very worrying, in a way. And there has been a lot of campaigns locally to repair relations, but these are, well, very poor parts of town. And of course, when you're very poor and your life is not very good, it's kind of easy to think it's somebody else's fault. The fascists in Britain are mostly in an organisation called the British National Party. They are not as strong as in France. Je crois que les fascistes ont une dizaine de conseils municipaux dans le pays entier en Angleterre. Et c'est plusieurs centaines en France. Donc ils sont plus faibles pour des raisons différentes. But the fascist British National Party won 2 seats in the European Parliament in 2009 for the first time. So that's an important piece of information. Now, if you go to the website of the British National Party, they will say, we are not fascists, but I think they are. Okay. More important this year, in 2009 and 2010, and also today, c'est la phrase que j'avais changée jusqu'à 2012, there have been problems with the English Defence League. And the English Defence League is a new organisation, a few years old, and they mostly campaign against Muslims. You know, they imagine that the enemy is Muslims. However, they do have some difficulty because last week they had a demonstration of 200 people, but 2,000 people came to stop the demonstration. And this is not unusual. It's very difficult, fortunately, for the English Defence League to have a demonstration because there are organisations to stop them. They were often met by counter-demonstrations. Next one, please. Yes, just a couple of examples of anti-racist activity. On the left you have a poster defending asylum seekers, les demandeurs d'asile. Stop the war on asylum seekers. And on the right you have a free music festival by an organisation called Love Music, Hate Racism. Next, please. Two final questions of racism. One very important event in 1992, I think, a young man, Stephen Lawrence, was murdered by a group of racists. And it was a terrible problem because it became clear that the police did not care, that the police did not help his family and did not want to find the murderers. And this became a big scandal. And 8 years later, there was an official report, a government report, and the government report said, the police are institutionally racist. On va dire un rapport gouvernemental qui dit que la police est fondamentalement raciste. Pas qu'il y a quelques racistes dans la police, mais que le système est raciste. Alors, that was a big, huge, an enormous scandal. And the result was quite a lot of changes in the law and the introduction of this idea of promoting racial equality. Quite a lot of changes in the police, recruiting more black people. Is the police still institutionally racist in Britain today? People have very different opinions on this. It seems that some progress has been made, but there is still a lot of progress to be made. But this was an absolute enormous scandal. The report was written by Macpherson, who is not a radical at all, a very conservative gentleman. And he wrote a list of things which were wrong with the police. And this is why it was so such a scandal, because of course any left-wing Marxist group can say the police are racist and nobody is listening. This was the official report of the government. And finally, I mentioned, of course, the fact that today the most popular racism in Britain is probably Islamophobia, as in some other countries. Next, please. Okay. Just a couple of examples of activity against Islamophobia. Next again. The fascists. There you have the fascists at the end. the fascists again. Britain is full up. I call Britannia na plus place. Again, more. And this is another new organisation, the United Kingdom Independence Party. They are probably not fascists, but they are pretty racist. And they hate Europe. Look, there is Europe on the right. L'oiseau qui est en train de manger la grande Bretagne, c'est l'Europe. Ils sont pas contents. Next again. Je vais revenir sur ce que j'ai raté, mais je voulais vous montrer donc l'adresse du blog où vous trouverez des enregistrements, des liens, des vidéos, des jeux vidéo, pas du tout.